Now, Talk Radio 95.3 WRSC and 96.9 and 100.7 The Train brings you Blue and White Wrap-Up with Corey Geiger and Nathan Ferlina, presented by Five Star Mitsubishi. Tune in over the next 90 minutes as we take your calls on the Snare and Associates call-in line, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Also, stay tuned as Corey and Nathan select Nittany Cards Plus Player of the Game and check scores from across the country. Now, Blue and White Wrap-Up, presented by Five Star Mitsubishi on Talk Radio 95.3 WRSC and 96.9 and 100.7 The Train. Here's your hosts, Corey Geiger and Nathan Ferlina.
Alrighty, welcome to our blue-white day. We can't say blue-white game any longer. Blue-white day episode of Blue and White Wrap-Up. Corey Geiger, Nathan Ferlina will be with you for the next hour. Give us a call on our Snare and Associates Mortgage Services call-in line at 946-0435. Not much of a crowd at Beaver Stadium today. Really, just a few hundred people. Miserable weather. They're not playing a football game anymore. It's just a practice. But just, you know, just an overall miserable day, Nathan. So doing this for an hour, we're going to talk about Matt Campbell and the quarterback situation, injuries, and we're going to do some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm not dumb. Everyone wants to talk about Drew Aller and the Steelers. That's just the way it is. So I've been a little bit conflicted today because Nathan and I host a daily sports talk show from 3 to 4, and we're going to spend all day Monday talking about Drew Aller and the Steelers.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
So do we want to do that today as well? And what I've learned in this business is, you know, I'm going to talk about the things that you want to talk about. We're kind of supposed to be talking about the Penn State football team for the 2026 season, not the quarterback of the last few years, correct?
Correct.
What do you think what people want to talk about?
People want to talk about how Drew Aller will fare with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, so 946-0435. I will definitely make sure that we take time, because recruiting is something I do want to get into today. Mm-hmm. The recruiting of Matt Campbell, they've done a good job the last few weeks. Was James Franklin an overrated recruiter? Okay, we're going to get into that a little bit. I think a lot of things that James did was about hype and playing a character and a role and all of these things. But Matt Campbell, it's early in the recruiting process. I don't expect him to have a top 10 class, but it's not like James Franklin had a top 5, top 6, 7 class every year anyway. So how much of the hype machine that was around Penn State recruiting during James Franklin's tenure was just because James Franklin's going to hype everything. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, Matt Campbell has, like, they've been number 6, 7 class in the country right now. Again, very early. So we're going to get into that a little bit later on. I have a ton of thoughts, as I'm sure some of you do if you're listening, again, on our Snare and Associates call-in line 946-0435. I have a ton of thoughts, a ton of opinions, a lot of in-depth discussion points about Drew Aller and Penn State, Drew Aller and James Franklin, Drew Aller and the Steelers, Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, Will Howard and the Steelers. We could spend 5 hours on this today. We could. I'm going to ask you point blank, Nathan, why draft Drew Aller if you think that Will Howard could be a good quarterback at some point? Or is this an indication that they don't believe in Will Howard and they're going for the sexy 6'5", 250-pound kid who, even though he had issues in college, looks the part?
I think this is a signal that they do not believe in Will Howard. Now, listen, I can tell you right now, you should give the kid a shot. It's not the same regime in there because it's not the Mike Tomlin era. Now it's the Mike McCarthy era, but Omar Khan had boots on the ground looking at Will Howard every single day in practice, seeing if he thinks that he really is the guy. Will Howard is a great college quarterback, and you compared him yesterday to Trace McSorley, a gamer in college.
Mm-hmm. Bigger, stronger Trace McSorley. I think Trace is a better quarterback than Will Howard.
I would agree with that. But those guys typically aren't your good NFL quarterbacks.
Right. They're gamers and ballers. Yes. And you can count on them for a spark here and there, and they can look good, and the fan base can be excited about it.
Exactly. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, quote-unquote, gamers that maybe aren't physically up to an NFL quarterback standard that have succeeded in the NFL. Russell Wilson probably is the only one that comes to mind. I mean, Drew Brees, I guess, a little bit ago as well. These are undersized quarterbacks that just got it done. And Will Howard's not, you know, Kyler Murray, Drew Brees by any. He's bigger.
Drew Brees is one of the most accurate passers of the quarterback of all who's ever lived. Russell Wilson is an exceptionally intelligent guy who has tremendous athleticism and football skills and was a minor league baseball player. So those are good comparisons.
And Drew Aller has not gotten to the point of what those people. Drew Aller's not a gamer. We haven't seen him do it yet. We've seen him crap down his leg in the biggest moments. However, history will tell you, quarterbacks built like Drew Aller do succeed in the NFL. They're maybe not all, but they're more likely to succeed in the NFL than the undersized guys, the gamers in college. So that is why you take a chance on him in the third round, in which I'm okay with it. I have to admit, I'm okay with a third round pick. It's not like it's a second round pick. You address positions of need to start out with your wide receiver getting Jeremy Bernard in round two and beefing up the offensive line in round one. So you using a third round pick on a guy in which Mike McCarthy is known to be a quarterback whisperer, can he get Drew Aller on the correct track to become an NFL quarterback whenever everyone was expecting 3 years ago this guy to be a top 10, maybe even a number one overall pick out of Penn State? I think it's okay you take him in the third round at, what, 76 overall, I believe he ended up going.
I think it's okay taking a quarterback in the third round, 76. I'm okay with that. And in fact, I said yesterday my preferred pick was Ty Simpson at 21. I thought you go ahead and start preparing for the future.
Okay. Ty Simpson's off the board.
He's off the board. Right.
Fernando Mendoza's off the board.
Yeah, so, right.
Who was on the board, who would you have taken over Drew Aller?
Well, and this is where the discussion gets interesting. This is where personal opinion and history, and this is why we could talk about this for 5 hours. Folks, I could talk about this for 25 hours. We have. We've talked about this exact subject with Drew Aller and James Franklin and development and lack of development and terrible wide receivers and babying him with the game plan and not trusting him to throw the ball down the field. There's no person on this planet, of the 8+ billion people on the planet, Corey Geiger is more associated with Drew Aller throwing the ball downfield than anyone else on the planet. All of these discussions are intertwined into one. They're all intertwined into one discussion, and that is, did James Franklin break Drew Aller? Or is Drew Aller just not very good to begin with? Or is it both? And how much is both? Can he be fixed for the NFL? Can he make NFL caliber throws? Again, I got so many thoughts running through my mind, and we're going to spend probably all damn week on Sports Central talking about this because there are just so many elements. I'm going to in the next minute to minute and a half, I'm going to summarize as many bullet points as I can. One, James Franklin babied Drew Aller from the very beginning and instilled in him time and time again, don't turn the ball over. It led to that year where he had 25 touchdowns and one interception, but those numbers were completely misleading because he didn't attempt to do anything. Everything was short. Everything was safe. This is when, you know, are you talking from Mars? Are you speaking from Japanese? Because I challenged James Franklin on why you're not throwing the ball deep and getting more experience. Two, the wide receiver situation at Penn State has been an absolute joke. James Franklin's failure to develop the wide receivers at Penn State is a complete abomination. These are the reasons James Franklin got fired. These are the reasons everything fell apart at Penn State. They are the reasons that James Franklin got fired. And I'm trying to summarize as many as I can. He made Drew Aller a game manager. He made Drew Aller a check down guy who wasn't going to overlook the field. He wasn't going to look in the middle of the field. He wasn't going to throw guys open. So it's my opinion that Drew Aller has never played a style of quarterback that you have to play in the NFL. All Drew Aller does, all Drew Aller has ever done in his college career is wait for guys to get open and then throw them the ball while they're open. And that's not what you do in the NFL. In the NFL, you've got to read guys open. I painted a picture of this the other day of your receiver is behind one cornerback by a step, and you got a linebacker over the middle, and your receiver is going to cut over across the middle, and you've got to know exactly when he's going to get to that spot 9 yards in, and you've got to throw the ball to that spot while also crashing down from the top as a safety. You've got to trust to throw the ball where your receiver is going to be in 0.75 seconds. I'm not sure Drew Aller did that more than five times in his entire career at Penn State. So we can blame James Franklin for a lot of this, right, Nathan?
I would agree with that.
I think everything I just said was a system that was completely and totally designed by buffoons when you have the number one pro-style quarterback recruit in the country. You've got this guy coming in, you know he's coming in, and you're laughable at what you put around him from a ball-catching perspective.
You said the word pro-style quarterback, which is the issue. They weren't designing a system for a pro-style quarterback, and I understand they really haven't had a pro-style quarterback since Hackenberg, really. I mean, McSorley wasn't a pro-style quarterback. Sean Clifford really wasn't a pro-style – he was more of a pro-style quarterback than Trace, but still, he was a college gamer. He was not, you know, stand in the pocket, Drew Aller, deliver the ball on time, throw your receivers open. He was just chucking it down the – not – James Franklin wouldn't like me saying that, but he was just throwing it down the field, giving his receivers chances to make plays on the ball. So, you know, I think that's where it failed. Drew Aller at Penn State was the system was designed very, very safe and – it just wasn't built for him, which you have to know before you commit to Penn State. I think that's on Drew. Now, I'm sure they told him they were going to use.
Sure.
They were.
Nobody could have known. And look, we can blame James for all that.
Mm-hmm.
In the national semifinal game against Notre Dame a year and a half ago, there are certain rules that you teach a 10-year-old quarterback. You don't throw back across your body. You don't throw off your back foot. You don't just turn crazy and wildly and just chuck the ball back across the middle of the field against your body, off your back foot. These are the cardinal sins of a quarterback. You don't throw across your body. No, look, Patrick Mahomes can do this stuff.
I'm about to say all these rules apply to everybody except Patrick Mahomes.
You know, well, where's Patrick Mahomes in terms of the just most gifted physical quarterbacks in the history of the game? He's top five.
I would say top three, top five, somewhere in that area. Maybe
if Patrick
Marine.
Mahomes can do these things. In the national semifinal, with the game on the line, you're trying to drive. You got plenty of time. You're trying to drive for you're down seven. You're trying to drive for a tying score. Drew Aller totally panics. Throws the ball back against across his body, off his back foot, wildly across the middle, and the ball is intercepted by Notre Dame. Did James Franklin throw that ball?
James Franklin did not throw that ball.
Did James Franklin make any of those decisions?
James Franklin not making those decisions? I'm sure James Franklin, that wasn't the intent of the play call, was for that pass to be delivered at that time.
Previously, a couple weeks earlier, in the Big Ten Championship game against Oregon, Drew Aller threw like the worst interception you'll ever see when they lost that game until he threw an even worse interception against Notre Dame in the national semifinal. So he lost. Penn State gave up 45 points against Oregon in that Big Ten Championship game. And Drew Aller had some numbers, had some success in that game. But then when the game was on the line, did James Franklin throw the football, Nathan, to Oregon?
James Franklin did not. James Franklin did not make that pass.
In overtime against Oregon last year, when everything fell apart, Penn State was a blade of grass away from beating Oregon. And because there was that fumble, but the knee was ruled down, changed the whole game. Penn State comes back, plays a good fourth quarter. Drew Aller looked really good in the fourth quarter. Not the first three quarters because they played this idiotic, stupid style of football that James Franklin had devised for their offense. But the fourth quarter, in comeback mode.
I was about to say desperation mode.
Desperation mode. Drew Aller looked really good until it's overtime and you've got the ball needing to score to win, and Drew Aller throws the ball directly to an Oregon defender. Like, didn't see him there. Did James Franklin throw that ball?
James Franklin did not throw that ball.
Here's the issue with Drew Aller, okay? James Franklin broke Drew Aller. But Drew Aller had plenty of situations to prove that he was good as well, and he didn't. So my feeling on all of this has been that James Franklin mismanaged badly Drew Aller. And Drew Aller egregiously failed James Franklin. How many Penn State football coaches have ever been fired? I believe it's one.
I'm about to say, is it one? Did everybody else have to leave?
I believe it's one. I mean, Joe, yeah, okay, well.
Is that technically firing?
I'm not getting into the technicalities of all that stuff. Yes, he was fired, but that's not what we're getting at here. I'm talking
for football
reasons. I honestly believe Drew Aller got James Franklin fired. In part. Now, James Franklin, again, he made his own bet. Hype, too much pressure. Everything came down to showmanship instead of big games. And these James Franklin did a lot of things. You know, 90% of it is James Franklin's fault. But if Drew Aller doesn't throw that interception against Notre Dame and they come down and win that game, if Drew Aller doesn't throw the first interception against Oregon, although it didn't really matter because they still got to the national semifinal by beating SMU and Boise State, which doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. We've talked about that's another component of all this that we could talk about for 25 hours because, again, did James Franklin really prove anything? He proved that he could beat SMU and Boise State. Congratulations getting to the national semifinal against two teams that you're favored by almost double digits against. All right. So again, not to get off sidetrack here, but when we're trying to determine the Drew Aller impact in college, James is responsible for a lot of the problems. Drew also failed James Franklin significantly to the point where I don't think James Franklin trusted the guy. Deep down in the corners of James Franklin's mind, Drew Aller's probably a big reason he got fired.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. But at the same time, I think then you have to look at James Franklin and say, if you didn't believe in Drew Aller, why did you stick with him? We've had this discussion many of times as well, because you don't want to dump the number one pro-style quarterback that you had coming out of recruiting, because that looks bad for future quarterbacks when you're recruiting them. So,
correct.
You know, you're playing a little bit of
politics. You're not benching the guy. You're not benching the guy for, although it was, you know.
It was warranted, though. It was warranted.
Ethan Grunkemeyer, the numbers were better offensively for Penn State when Ethan Grunkemeyer and Terry Smith were in charge of Penn State.
I was about to say, it was a completely
different schedule.
So if Grunkemeyer was in there, there's a good chance it would have been the same exact system.
But I'd be remiss if I did not mention the Ohio State and Michigan games a couple years ago. Those are two of the worst performances in the history of Penn State football by a quarterback. Both Drew Aller. One was the Ohio State game where I believe Drew was something like 10 for 33 or something before they got a garbage touchdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was an absolute embarrassing performance on a day in Columbus that I picked Penn State to win the game because I let myself foolishly be convinced by some other people that Penn State had more talent than Ohio State that day. Well, maybe they had as much, but they didn't have Marvin Harrison. And the reason
they didn't have a quarterback who was going to be able to completely pass down the field,
and they didn't have a defense. I mean, Penn State's defense was good, but Drew's performance in that Ohio State game was an embarrassment. His performance against Michigan later in the season was such an embarrassment that Michigan ran 32 consecutive times without throwing the ball. They knew this was like Kirk Ferentz at 6-4. Kirk Ferentz in 6-4 knew that Penn State's offense was so bad. So bad that he could take safety and it wouldn't bother, it wouldn't matter anything because Penn State just couldn't move the ball. Michigan was so unimpressed by Penn State's offense, and they knew what their strength was with their running game that they just decided we can just run and run and run and run and run, and even if we don't get first downs, they're not going to do anything against us.
Mm-hmm.
So the totality of what I'm telling you about my opinion of Drew Aller is built up through all of that. Did James Franklin play a large role in sabotaging Drew Aller's career?
Yes.
Did Drew Aller then crap down his leg when he had the ball in his own hands and it really was not about James Franklin in those isolated moments at all?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you overcome that to then think that you're going to be better in the NFL. This is my concern. This is my issue. And as a Steelers fan, we're doing a Penn State show, but I'm a Steelers fan. I'm talking to you as a longtime Penn State beat reporter and radio host. I'm not a Penn State fan. I'm not a Penn State hater, but I'm trying to talk to you about Penn State, you know, from as much of an unbiased perspective as I possibly can. I'm not trying to be unbiased with the Steelers. I'm a fan. And I hate the fact that the Steelers got this particular quarterback. Now, you ask me, was there another quarterback at 76? I don't know. I don't care. I don't know those guys. I don't know those dudes. I don't know Carson Beck's career as much, and I know he was gone as well. I don't know his career, these guys' career as much as I do Drew Allers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've just spent you and I in the last 2 years 200 hours talking about this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And this is, you didn't come on until after the "you're speaking from Mars and speaking Japanese" came in to effect. That's why, you know, obviously I'm going to pay as much attention to this stuff as anybody, since it was a humiliating kind of time for me, although I ended up being right and James Franklin ended up being fired. So, domo arigato, Mr. Fired Coacho. So, there we go. but I just have a hard time, and I might have buried the lead here a little bit. Not only is Drew Allers struggling, all these things that we're talking about, he even struggles throwing short passes, Nathan.
Yeah.
He struggles throwing the ball 8 to 12 yards. So if he can't throw a deep ball or throw receivers open in the NFL, which I don't think he'll be able to, maybe he can just dink and dunk to Pat Freiermuth and do that. Oh, but he wasn't really any good at that either in college. He would throw the ball. He wasn't as bad as Christian Hackenberg, but he'd throw the ball at the guy's feet. He'd throw the ball widely. You know, when you're supposed to lead a guy here, he'd throw it 8 inches behind and create a tougher catch.
It happened on the goal line against Notre Dame in the national semifinals, where he didn't hit Nick Singleton, which would have been a walk-in touchdown. I mean, if he puts that ball better, maybe we're talking about a different outcome there as well.
Yeah. So, I am definitely clear in my frustration of why I don't think Drew Aller will ever be any good in the NFL. Do you see things a little differently? Maybe not as strongly as me. I'll sit back. Talk me off the ledge.
I'm not as strong as you. If I was a betting man right now, I would tell you Drew Aller will not succeed in the NFL. However, I think there is a pathway for him to do that. What will screw him over is if, as much as people probably don't want to see him back, if Aaron Rodgers is not there this coming year, it is going to screw Drew Aller's development. Because if Aaron Rodgers is there, Drew Aller will not be playing this season.
Okay, if Aaron Rodgers is there, let's check off this real quick, then I'll let you continue. Mason Rudolph is gone. Can we agree on that?
Yes, Mason Rudolph.
They're not going to keep Mason Rudolph over Will Howard, are they?
I can't imagine unless
they really think Howard sucks.
That would be the only case. But we haven't had that indication. They haven't. It feels like they're not burying Will Howard quite yet. It feels like they want to maybe give him a shot before Drew Aller. So I think Mason Rudolph will be gone off the roster if Aaron Rodgers does decide to come back. So if Aaron Rodgers does not come back and your three quarterbacks coming into the year are Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Drew Aller, there's a good chance the fans are going to be calling for Drew Aller if Will Howard struggles. And then Mason Rudolph, they're just going to want him pulled no matter what, because they want to see a young new quarterback in the NFL. So you want Aaron Rodgers back, because then you get at least a year development, most likely, with Drew Aller. He can heal up for the injury still, and he can start to learn behind one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL in Rodgers. Here's what I will say, though. He's got to learn to trust his receivers and throw the guys open. You've talked about it ad nauseum right now about him not being able to do that in college. That's the first thing Mike McCarthy should be teaching him, and he should have faith in his receivers. And listen, he has big body receivers
as
well.
If you want to be any level of dynamic offense, if you just want to have a great, I mentioned this the other day, if you want to be the 2005 Steelers and have a great defense and a great running game and a quarterback that comes in there and just hands the ball off and makes basic, simple throws, if you just want to be that, then Drew Aller can play in the NFL.
But they don't have a great NFL defense.
Correct.
They don't have a great running game.
Correct. And so, therefore, if you're going to win games, you're going to need your core. He didn't have to win games at Penn State because he had a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he had great running backs. Well, he had very good running backs. They're a little overrated. Both were drafted today. Nick Singleton to the Titans.
Titans, Singleton.
And sixth round. And Catron to the Commanders, seventh round?
Catron, sixth round. Singleton was fifth round.
Singleton, fifth round.
Catron just got drafted to the Commanders here a few picks ago.
So both drafted.
Yeah, both drafted.
But the point is, Drew didn't have to do a whole lot because Penn State just had better players than 80 to 90% of their opponents.
That's not the case in the NFL. Everybody's so evenly matched that you've
got
to be able to
play. And so the games we talk about, Oregon, Notre Dame, the Ohio State, Michigan, the games we talk about that define Drew Aller's career are the games where Penn State didn't have the better players and he crapped the bed, like, historically.
Yeah.
So that's where... Can he overcome all this because he's 6'5" and 250 and can throw the ball 80 yards? I don't believe that. I just don't think that just because you look great in shorts means that you can read a defense and throw dudes open 25 yards down the field.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. You just got to be able to learn it at the NFL level, which is the hardest place to learn that. I mean, we talked about Connor Griffin, where he basically is learning everything at the MLB level, and you're seeing him struggle. It is hard for you to learn on the fly at a professional level, the best of the best, the 0.0001% athletes in this world. It is hard to learn about safeties crashing down and linebackers dropping into zone coverage after showing blitz. And you got to be able to do that, and you got to be able to do that quick, because you're going to probably get 1 year development before you're given the keys to this offense. Because I would imagine Drew Aller will be the first to go before Will Howard if Aaron Rodgers does return the season going into 2027. I'd imagine Drew Aller will be the guy, assuming Rodgers does not come back once again. So this is, I mean, it's a big deal. You got to learn this year.
Are you going to go with the assumption now that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to make Drew Aller their franchise quarterback after Aaron Rodgers?
I think they're going to try.
Is that what we're going to do?
I think they're going to try, unless this year is so...
Good luck with that!
Unless the year is so bad that you get a top 10 pick and you can pick a quarterback then this upcoming year, if they all pan out to what people are projecting them to be, then maybe it's a third round pick, you know, trade fodder. I think about Joe Milton a couple years back whenever they took him with the Patriots. They were able to get rid of him because they had Drake May already. You can do it. And then Josh Rosen the year before, or a couple years back with Kyler Murray and that whole situation. So you can dump him because he's a third round pick. It's much easier to get rid of a third round pick than a first round pick quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily your franchise guy, but assuming they won't have a top 10 pick this year, because that's just not how the Steelers do thing, regardless of coaches. You know, I think it's safe to say they're going to at least give Drew Aller a fair shot, unless they see no progression whatsoever and Mike McCarthy says, hey, this is not the guy. We got to go a different direction in 2027.
All right. We're going to take a break. If you want to join us, 946-0435. Maybe you completely disagree and you think Drew Aller's going to be a superstar.
Bold design, next level technology, pure emotion in every mile. That's what you'll find at Bobby Rahal Lexus of State College. With over 20 new Lexus models available for immediate delivery, feel the thrill of the IS350F Sport. Go farther in the hybrid UX300H or experience the Lexus RX, where innovation meets refinement. And right now, you'll find rates as low as 2.99% on select models. Experience amazing today at 120 East Clinton Avenue or browse online at lexusofstatecollege.com.
Are you thinking of buying a new home or refinancing your current mortgage? Well, I have good news. Mortgage rates are finally starting to drop. That's right, drop. Now is the perfect time to get a mortgage pre-approval from Snare and Associates. Our pre-approval process is free. It's quick and it's easy. Don't delay. Give us a call at 695-2000. Visit us on the web at snareandassociates.com or stop by our office in historic Hollidaysburg to access the lowest rates and closing costs around.
Your hometown mortgage lender, Snare and Associates.
Licensed by the PA Department of Banking and Securities, NMLS number 101853.
Now, back to Blue and White Wrap-Up on Talk Radio 95.3 WRSC and 96.9 and 100.7 The Train. Call in to the Snare and Associates call-in line now at 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435.
All right, so we're halfway through the show. We haven't talked about the spring game yet. We will for a moment. good draft for the Steelers, for Penn State. Where did Dennis Sutton go? He went a little later.
Packers
than everybody thought.
Fourth round Packers, I think 110. Zane Durant just got drafted a few picks back before Catron at the end of the fifth round, so he ended up going 181, I want to say. Then think about some other guys there. Obviously, you have the offensive linemen in round one. Drew Shelton got drafted today as well to the Cowboys.
So how many is his total? They were thinking at one point they could have 11, which would have been a program record.
I'm trying to think in my head. Yeah, I mean, Aller was the second, so that's two. So six, maybe seven guys right now.
Right.
Wheatley got drafted too, so that makes seven.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that ended up going. I think
when
that's
we
it.
Take a when we're you're going through these names, and this is the deal with James Franklin. A lot of good players have come through that program. A lot of good draft picks. The two all-time leading rushers.
Three, Saquon. Or Singleton.
Yeah, but just recently, yes, yeah, Saquon, or before. But no national championship game appearances. No national championships. One relatively pseudo fraudulent run to the semifinal because, again, you beat SMU and Boise State. You didn't really earn anything that year. I've said repeatedly, that's like beating Illinois. Okay, so especially when we take a look at the draft and the success, how much of a further hammer to the head is that of James Franklin not being able to maximize what he should have been able to do?
I think it's just indicative of the coach he is, where you can get these players and you can coach them up, and they're just incredible athletes, but you can't put a game plan together to utilize them correctly and win these games. If you're having 7-8 draft picks a year, you should be competing for national. You should be, you know, at the top of the rankings constantly because you have the talent to be able to do that. And whenever it feels like year after year, when you match up with a team that's similar to you, and you cannot win, it's indicative of the coach you are and the fact that you cannot get over the hump and you need five. I mean, it was time for a change at Happy Valley.
So let's try to use that as a little bit of a springboard to the new coach and moving forward, because it can't always be about James Franklin or Drew Out. We got to start getting the Matt Campbell. We don't know anything about the Matt Campbell era yet, really. We hear all the hype and everything, and you know, it took 50 days to hire him, and everybody seems to think this was a good hire. And I do think it's a good hire. If they'd have hired him after 7 days, I don't think it would have been a good hire. But because it was 50 days and there was a debacle by Pat Kraft, it became you ended up salvaging the hire.
It was a Hail Mary.
That got caught at the end. If you'd have thrown that pass after a week, I don't know that it would have been the home run hire that everybody would have thought about, Matt, you know, with Matt Campbell early on. But after 50 days, absolutely. So, but Matt Campbell has come in, and I'm gonna tell the story. I'm not sure if I've told the story. I think I have. I saved it for 10 years. Roughly 10 years ago, I had a source who knows James Franklin very well, called him an actor. Ever tell that story on Sports Central?
I don't know if you've told it on air. I know you've told me off air, but
source told I. You know, I've never printed this. I held on to it. He called James Franklin an actor. I think you can probably surmise what we're talking about here, that he can act the part of being a good coach. But when all was said and done, was he actually a good coach, or was he just acting all along? Now, I don't want to be completely dismissive of what James accomplished at Penn State, but as we get further and further removed from James being at Penn State, we're all going to realize the used car salesman that he was.
It was just the height that you reached so early, he was never able to get back to it. That's the issue.
Hey, I give him credit for 2016.
That's what I mean, but that's 10 years ago. That's 10 years ago,
though. It's not even that. It's just the somewhat slimy feel of it all, Nathan. The feeling of just having a disingenuous person in charge. A guy who, a showman. Have you seen The Greatest Showman?
I have seen The Greatest Showman.
I love The Greatest Showman. I think The Greatest Showman is the greatest movie musical of all time. It is the most it is the most successful financially, by the way. So this is not just my opinion. The Greatest Showman made more money than any musical ever. The songs, I love the songs in The Greatest Showman, man. Never be enough. I won't do that. I love The Greatest Showman. That was total fraud. Now, P.T. Barnum, that movie was very, very exaggerated about P.T. Barnum's life. But in The Greatest Showman, he was just a total fraud, okay? And he even was concerned about it. He didn't want to be a fraud, and that's why he brought Jenny Lind over from Europe to, you know, to sing, and why it's just an incredible scene whenever she nails it on stage, and everybody gives a standing ovation, and that's the moment of epiphany for Hugh Jackman in the movie, where he's not a fraud anymore. He feels like he belongs now because this wasn't just a used car salesman kind of shtick that he had going on. With James Franklin, everything feels like an act. Everything feels like the main purpose for what I'm doing in this second is to get the greatest possible outcome. I don't feel like that's a real human being. I don't feel like that's a real person that can have a real honest conversation with you, because there's always an agenda. You always have to be, and I'm doing air quotes, on. You always have to be on. You always have to do the act. You always have to be the actor to get the standing ovation at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm going with that with regards to Matt Campbell is he just seems like a regular dude. You follow me?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've listened to a couple interviews with him. Definitely still very PR, very...
They're polished. They know what they have to say.
But James Franklin was just over the top with it. It was just... you could tell it was so forceful. That's why it never really... You never felt like he was being genuine, and you never felt like...
I never felt like is this a real human being talking to me? Or is this just somebody who's selling something 24/7, 365?
That's what it felt like. He was always... You never caught him with his pants down. He was always saying the right thing at the right time and, you know, basically trying to be the perfect...
Soundbite.
Yes, the perfect soundbite. He's broke character. He broke the fourth wall, we'll say, like two or three times I can recall.
Promising to be elite was something that he was never able to get back to. That held over his head for a long time after the loss to Ohio State, the elite thing. He did break character in the loss to Michigan, where he claimed that his defensive line, everybody wanted to be Aaron Donald. When he would lose a game, he would kind of break character a little bit.
But like, that's the stuff you have to do as a coach. You have to call your team out to get them
motivated. I agree, but he never did it. He was so polished and so...
That's why I think it was an issue, though. That's why it was an issue.
Right, because it was different. And then the Northwestern week, when he didn't say Northwestern, and everybody knew this guy's brain is fried.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say Northwestern in his Monday press conference when he had basically started every press conference of his career, or of his tenure, talking about the next opponent.
Mm-hmm.
That's when everybody knew that he was scatterbrained and all over the place.
And I don't think that resonates to the players in the locker room. I don't think they look at James Franklin.
The players love James, but I also, you know, because I think he was probably, they maybe have felt genuine, that he was genuine, but they're also 18 to 22-year-old kids, and quite frankly, they're gullible at that age.
Man, I don't want to speak, I'm not speaking at all for any players in the locker. I don't know. I guess if I had a coach like that, I wouldn't be as fired up if he was chewing me out in the locker room, ripping me at halftime, trying to get
promoted. A lot of players love Bobby Knight.
That's what I'm saying.
Bobby Knight ripped the hell out of everybody.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like that's...
There's different ways to go about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, the James Franklin loyalty component, continuing to play Nicholas Singleton over Catron Allen when it was obvious to everyone who was better, continuing to do the things that he would do with Drew Aller when it was obvious he needed to do different things, the loyalty factor, I wrote about this in the Mirror at the end of the season. Loyalty is usually a great thing 99% of the time. When you're too loyal to where it blinds you to making changes, that's an issue. Hey, we do have a phone call on our Snare and Associates call-in line. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Joe, and I'm at the Veterans Home in Holidaysburg.
Joe, good to hear from you, my man. Hope your weekend is going well. What's on your mind, pal?
Well, one thing is to give the new coach a chance.
Yep.
Even the first couple of games or so and see how he's doing. But my big thing was, how does everyone think Franklin's going to do at Virginia Tech?
Okay, that's a really good question. Let me ask you this, Joe. We get to talk all the time, and I will answer your question, but I want to hear what you think first. Go ahead.
I don't think he's going to succeed. They're going to get rid of him pretty quick.
Okay.
They like a show team that wins games.
Here's the thing about Virginia Tech, Joe. They don't have the expectation that Penn State has. They're not going into any season thinking they should win a national championship. They don't have a fan base that demands that 10-11 wins, that you improve on that, because that's not good enough. So everybody says if he wins 8 or 9 games at Virginia Tech, you know, they'll love him down there. And then maybe he wins 10 every now and then. You know, he can have a nice career at Virginia Tech, because, quite frankly, the ACC isn't a strong conference. He's not going to be dealing with Ohio State and Michigan, you know, every year. So I think he can have a level of success, but I also think he's going to very quickly rub people the wrong way at Virginia Tech, just like he kind of rubbed people the wrong way at Penn State. Just being kind of always feeling like he's putting on a show a little bit.
I was getting that he's not the showman he thinks he is.
Yeah. I agree with you, Nathan. What do you think? Joe makes a good point. We'll give this coach a new chance, a shot at Penn State. He's got a relatively easy schedule this year. It's perfect for Matt Campbell. He's not coming in facing a gauntlet. This is a great opportunity for Matt Campbell. I don't know if they're going to make a playoff or not, but it's a great opportunity for him to come in and do well in year one.
It's a great opportunity to get some goodwill and get things back on track, because, you know, I think Penn State fans, you know, expectations are always through the roof. It's always national championship or bust. But, you know, for a first year coach, if you can somehow get to that 10 win mark and, you know, you drop one to the rotation of either USC, Michigan, Washington, whoever it may be, or you drop two of those games, you win one, I think people will be like, okay, you know what? It was a tough year with everything, the whole transition. You know, it's a mixed roster. They're basically the Penn State Cyclones right now, and then they had no recruiting base.
I like it.
So, you know, if I think people will be understanding, like, hey, you know, you win 9-10 games, you know, that's pretty solid for the situation that Penn State was in, having everybody pretty much up and leave outside of Tony Rojas and a couple other guys. But, you know, then you get into year 2 and 3, then the expectations increase. So, you know, I think you got to give them 3 years to really judge. And if they feel like they're behind the eight ball and they're just not competing for playoffs, then maybe you got to, because the standard should be playoffs at Penn State. Not saying national championship every year, but you should be shooting for a top 12 finish every single year at Penn State, especially if you're there now 3-4 years. We're talking in the future with Matt Campbell. So that's whenever I think people will start to lose patience with him and say, okay, now we're getting to the point where we fired a coach who's getting us 10 wins perennially outside of 1 year, and we bring in this guy and he just can't seem to be able to do it. That would be where I think Penn State fans would start to have an issue with Matt Campbell.
Joe, thank you so much for the call, sir. Hopefully you enjoy your weekend, buddy.
You too. Have a good one.
Thank you, sir. Got a text here from a listener. During game week of big games, and during those games, James was wound tighter than a gnat's ass stretched over a rain barrel. That's pretty descriptive there, man.
It's a good bar.
That is good. I got to read this. I got to find this tweet here about Franklin and Vango Uwane. Give me, because this is hilarious. This is some dude named Patrick with BSD tweets. That's Black Shoe Diaries tweets. I'm going to read you what Patrick says. This is a conversation. Everybody play along here between James Franklin and Vango Uwane. All right. James. This isn't the old James Franklin you knew at Penn State, Vanga. Vanga says, okay. James says, that guy is gone. Vanga says, got it, coach. The Ravens are on the phone if you could stop talking. James says, So it starts with alignment. I've read that 10 times, and it just greatly summarizes James Franklin's mindset of shifting the blame.
Mm-hmm.
It's always got to be alignment.
I'm about to say, you think he has like just a, when he wakes up, it's on his
alignment.
Wall.
Three,
on the wall is just the big, big word, alignment.
365-day-year commitment. Okay, they gave you that commitment. You still sucked as a coach on Saturdays.
Bold design, next level technology, pure emotion in every mile. That's what you'll find at Bobby Rahal Lexus of State College. With over 20 new Lexus models available for immediate delivery. Feel the thrill of the IS350F Sport. Go farther in the hybrid UX300H or experience the Lexus RX, where innovation meets refinement. And right now, you'll find rates as low as 2.99% on select models. Experience amazing today at 120 East Clinton Avenue or browse online at lexusofstatecollege.com.
Are you thinking of buying a new home or refinancing your current mortgage? Well, I have good news. Mortgage rates are finally starting to drop. That's right, drop. Now is the perfect time to get a mortgage pre-approval from Snare and Associates. Our pre-approval process is free. It's quick and it's easy. Don't delay. Give us a call at 695-2000. Visit us on the web at snareandassociates.com or stop by our office in historic Hollidaysburg to access the lowest rates and closing costs around.
Your hometown mortgage lender, Snare and Associates.
Licensed by the PA Department of Banking and Securities, NMLS number 101853.
Now, back to Blue and White Wrap-Up on Talk Radio 95.3 WRSC and 96.9 and 100.7 The Train. Call in to the Snare and Associates call-in line now at 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435.
All right, 946-0435 on our Snare and Associates call-in line if you'd like to join us. One reason I wanted to mention the Franklin versus Matt Campbell comparison, right now it's very early. And you know, James had a lot of top 10 classes early on, and then they'd kind of filter out to 13, 14, 15. But Penn State's recruiting class right now is ranked number 7 in the country. Number 7 in country. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Here's James Franklin's recruiting classes. And my tweeter is going slow. Here's James Franklin's recruiting classes over his final 6 years at Penn State. 13th, 12th, 13th, 7th, 19th, 14th. Was James Franklin a great recruiter, Nathan Forlina?
My eyes, Franklin was a solid recruiter, above average, but not
he's at Penn
to
State.
Elite.
He's bringing kids to a place that has 107,000 seats, and it is still one of the great programs in the history of college football. Is a number 12 or 13 recruiting class when you're bringing kids to Penn State? How good of a recruiter is that?
I think it's a solid recruiter.
Shouldn't you be able to roll out of bed and get a top 15 class to Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of money that's invested in them and Beaver Stadium, the history, the pageantry of Penn State, you should be getting top 15s. If you're not getting top 15s, I think it's concerning. So I don't want to knock Franklin because he was getting top 15s. He was doing what he should have been doing.
Good. He had good players. They did develop him well. Physically, this is probably the best thing James Franklin did at Penn State. Physically, they developed their players. They got them ready physically. Good strength program. When they went to the combine or pro day, they showed out. They had all these freaks. Mm-hmm. They get their guys drafted. So where are the wins? Where are the wins in big games? That's the issue. So Matt Campbell comes along, and I like what you said. Basically, he's got Iowa State East. My concern a little bit is that he's relying so heavily on the Iowa State stuff, but what was he going to do? He got the job so late.
Yeah, you
had to, really. So, he's going to have to get better players than he was getting at Iowa State. You can't recruit to the Iowa State level and win in the Big Ten. You can't. Not to win 10, 11 games.
Correct. And I think he brought the pieces that just needed to fill. I think that's where you'll see the pieces that needed filled on this roster. The quarterback, some of the running back positions. They also get James Peeble out of Ohio State in the transfer portal as well. You know, filling in some defensive pieces as well. You know, there's still some Penn State talent on that team that's left over from the Franklin era. So he's mixing these two teams together. How well are they going to succeed on 1 year? I don't know. I think Rockerbeck was the quarterback is a much better quarterback than anybody they were going to be able to get out of the transfer portal, out of recruiting, out, you know, this keeping Gronk Meyer. I think it was probably a better decision just to bring in Rocco, a guy who's familiar with Matt Campbell, and he can kind of usher in that era with him as well. He can be that voice in the locker room.
Will Ethan Grunkmeyer be a better college quarterback than Drew Aller?
Ethan Grunkmeyer?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
James is going to do the same things down there to him.
I don't know if they have the receiving talent there.
Can't be any worse. Although they had Tyler Warren for a year.
That's what I mean. I don't even think he has. I mean, they got Luke Reynolds down there.
We got two callers. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Chuck. I'm calling from State College, PA.
Chuck, how you doing, my man? What's on your mind, brother?
Well, I'm going to listen to you guys talk about James Franklin and the Steelers and stuff. And I talk sports, football with my brother a lot. And he basically, reiterating what he said, is Franklin and Tomlin were the same coach. They're the guys who went out, they won games, they had a winning season, but that's the fire that they had. We won a winning season. Did they want the big games and championships and divisions playoffs? They got a paycheck. They got a steady paycheck. They didn't have people bringing down on them. It is only when the fans turned that both organizations go, hey, we got to do something because we're losing money on sponsorships and stuff. Now, you know, there's a chance. There's a chance that this is going to happen with new winds blowing in both organizations. I'm hoping Penn State, I'm hoping the Steelers will once again be the level of the program that they should have been for the last several years. And one of the things with Franklin is Penn State got burnt. They hired O'Brien because when the whole thing went with the Sandusky scandal, that tanked Penn. They got rid of Paterno in a horrible fashion. And then they got O'Brien because they needed someone to come in. They got O'Brien, and O'Brien was like, I like this gig, but I like the NFL bigger. So they went to Franklin because he was a vanilla choice. Penn State doesn't really like chocolate, you know, and, you know, they want the simple choices. They want the simple choices. They want the easy fix. They want to win games as long as it's convenient for them because they don't want to jeopardize the program.
Let me ask you
this. When the fans go that they're going to really amp up the program, and hopefully they do it this time.
Do you believe there is much chance, Chuck, that Drew Aller does develop into a good NFL quarterback?
I want to say yes. And the reason why I say this is because the Steelers are a committed organization to their players as long as they're not stupid. And they will build him. But he has got to work his tail off to prove he belongs there. Can he do it? I think he's, as long as he's got the work ethic, and he doesn't pout and bitch and moan and say, I'm a prima donna, then no. But if he has the work ethic and he works his tail off, I believe he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well, let me tell you this, because I have been around Drew a lot, and he is a good dude. He's got good work ethic. I don't think he's going to bitch and moan. I don't know if he was the one that recorded Pat Kraft in the locker room or not, like some people are alleging. If, in fact, he did that, then I think he is a cancer. But if he didn't, and I'm just going to go by what I know about Drew, I do think he's a hard worker. I do think he's coachable. He will listen. He will do what he's told. But that still doesn't mean that he can throw the ball across the middle and connect it with a wide receiver. Because if you've never heard me say this, Chuck, there are 15 good quarterbacks on this planet, 15 good NFL quarterbacks on this planet. There's 15. That's it. The other 8 billion, can't play the position. So could he be one of those 15? That's the question.
It is, and we'll all know in about 2 years.
Yep. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call, man. Thanks for tuning in. 946-0435 on the Snare and Associates call-in line. We'll take one more. Clarkster out in Philly. What's up, buddy?
Hey, it's nice to hear two shows in 1 week on the Black and Gold edition.
How about that? Yeah.
Anyway, do you see the Eagles just drafted their future quarterback?
Who'd they get?
Cole Payton. Cole Payton out of North Dakota.
Okay.
North Dakota. Yeah, right. They went back to their roots, if you remember back in the past.
Yeah, Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Anyway, how about you said the two running backs where they went, and we know where the linemen went. Was there anybody else?
Where are we at? 7, 8? Nathan's following all this stuff.
I think it's 7 because you got Wheatley, the two offensive linemen, Aller, Denied Dennis Sutton, Xander Rand as well, then the two running backs. So is that 8?
Venga.
Yeah, two linemen. Is that 8?
I think it's 8.
Well, where did the
8.
Other linemen go?
Shelton went to the Cowboys.
Yep, Drew Shelton went to the Cowboys. Venga went to the Ravens. Denied Dennis Sutton went where? Packers?
Packers. Wheatley, I forget where Wheatley went.
And Commanders for Nicholas Singleton. Who will be? We got a lot of shows on this. Who's going to be a better NFL running back, Nicholas Singleton or Catron Allen?
Well, Singleton, they can put him out wide. I don't know about the other running back. It depends on what he's got in front of him.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, Catron's in a loaded running back room. Singleton, not really.
I'm going to see if I can stump Nathan like we do every day. I'm going to see if Nathan knows what the perfect date is.
Bold design, next level technology, pure emotion in every mile. That's what you'll find at Bobby Rahal Lexus of State College. With over 20 new Lexus models available for immediate delivery. Feel the thrill of the IS350F Sport. Go farther in the hybrid UX300H or experience the Lexus RX, where innovation meets refinement. And right now, you'll find rates as low as 2.99% on select models. Experience amazing today at 120 East Clinton Avenue or browse online at lexusofstatecollege.com.
Are you thinking of buying a new home or refinancing your current mortgage? Well, I have good news. Mortgage rates are finally starting to drop. That's right, drop. Now is the perfect time to get a mortgage pre-approval from Snare and Associates. Our pre-approval process is free. It's quick and it's easy. Don't delay. Give us a call at 695-2000. Visit us on the web at snareandassociates.com or stop by our office in historic Hollidaysburg to access the lowest rates and closing costs around.
Your hometown mortgage lender, Snare and Associates.
Licensed by the PA Department of Banking and Securities. NMLS number 101853.
Now, back to Blue and White Wrap-Up on Talk Radio 95.3 WRSC and 96.9 and 100.7 The Train. Call in to the Snare and Associates call-in line now at 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435.
And we want to thank Russell Tire and Altoona, Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales in Claysburg. They're sponsors of our show here today and Sports Central every day. We love Russell Tire, Central PA Truck and Equipment. We love April 25th. Nathan Forlina, do you know what April 25th is?
It's the perfect date.
What do you mean it's the perfect date?
It's not too hot, not too cool.
Describe your perfect date.
That's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th, because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
William Shatner's like, what the hell?
I mean, she's right.
Well, not today. It was miserable today.
Well, but it's not too hot, not too cold. It's a good
That's right. That's a great line, a great scene from Miss Congeniality with Sandra Bullock. That actress's name is Heather Burns. Just absolutely brilliant. Today was April 25th, blue-white festivities. Only a few hundred people showed up to Beaver Stadium. Just terrible, miserable conditions. Last thing I want to say, this is just about blue-white Saturday in general. I enjoyed it when it was a football game. It was a scrimmage. Yes, it was, you know, a controlled scrimmage, but there was still football.
Mm-hmm.
When we had to evaluate quarterbacks like we did with Anthony, I started in 06. You have to evaluate Anthony Morelli. You have to evaluate Darrell Clark and Pat Devlin. You have to evaluate Matt McGloin. You have to evaluate Rob Bolden. You have to evaluate Christian Hackenberg, Trace McSorley. Everybody, Sean Clifford,
Will
Drew
Levis.
Aller, you have to evaluate. You could take something out of it. You could. I always felt you could. I don't think you can take anything out of Blue White Saturday anymore. I think it's NIL. Not, this is nobody's fault. This is just NIL in the transfer portal, and you can't get guys hurt, and there's too much money involved. You can't play a real football scrimmage. So what you're going to get is a practice. And if you get rain, you know, who wants to show up for that? So I'm sure there will be, you know, nicer blue-white Saturdays where they do get some larger crowds and meeting the players and their autographs and all that stuff. But I think this is a significant deterioration of spring games across the country.
Yeah, it's across the country. It's not just at Penn State. Everybody except Colorado. Colorado's the only team where it seems like people actually show up because Deion pumped that thing to the moon. But yeah, it's just a kind of the nature of what it is now, where people are so worried about injuries. People are so worried about, you know, NIL because they're paying these players now. You don't want these guys having, you know, an injury in a spring game. So, you know, I understand it, but, you know, it is sad. You like to see some competitive. I think the people would want to be, I think the players would want to be out there fighting their tail, especially these backups and stuff like that. They want to prove to the school, they want to prove to their coaches, they want to prove to the fans that they can play on this stage and maybe make their mark and maybe get a bump in the depth chart, but that's just kind of not the reality anymore, and it's sad to see. It is sad to see.
What do you think we're going to talk about on Sports Central on Sunday? Maybe. Or Saturday, rather.
Saturday?
Monday. Hey, I'm missing up all the days there. What do you think we're going to talk about Sports Central on Monday?
Maybe the worst date.
Oh, the worst date. Oh, that's a good one. Let's see if I can find a movie clip for the worst date. April 25th, perfect date. We're going to talk Drew Aller and the Steelers. And I'm going to get a whole lot more animated, I think, on Monday than I did today.
You're pretty controlled today.
Might be some swearing. I think I feel like this is more of a once a, you know, every few months kind of show, so I need to be on my best behavior.
Yeah,
today.
You need to put on a good show, Corey. You need to be a good showsman like James Franklin.
I'm gonna be fired up on Monday because I absolutely loathe the Steelers picking Drew Aller. So hey, but we appreciate everybody tuning in to our Blue White Wrap Up special. We even had three callers. We had one or two games at the end of the season, Nathan, where we didn't get three callers.
Yeah,
on our Blue White Wrap Up.
Yeah, it was definitely quite the year. So hopefully. You know, we got some callers today. That's a good thing. I didn't know if anybody was going to call because the spring game was such a debacle. But, you know, Drew Aller was able to spice things up. And shout out Omar Khan for giving us a show really today.
Oh, so. Hey, shout out to Omar Khan for giving us 5 months of shows. 3 years of shows. Will Drew Aller be on the Steelers in 3 years?
My guess is yes. What's your guess, Corey? Good.
3 years from today. I do not think Drew Aller will play three seasons with the Steelers, to say that. I don't think that Drew Aller will be on the team for three complete seasons. So that means all of the 2026 season, all of the 2027 season, and all of the 2028 season. I think he will be gone before the end of the 2028 season.
Okay.
And then we'll do some guesses on how many starts he makes and all that stuff.
All right.
Will he start more games in the NFL than Matt McGloin? I think Matt's at six, maybe seven. Will Drew Aller start more games in the NFL than Matt McGloin? Will he start more than Kenny Pickett? Do you know how many games Kenny Pickett started?
Kenny Pickett's probably like 20.
26.
26. So I don't know about 26, but six might be manageable.
Those are the comparisons. We'll get into all that on Sports Central. Thank you to Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales and Snare and Associates Mortgage Services, our sponsors for our little show here. We'll talk to you Monday.
You've been listening to Blue and White Wrap Up with Corey Geiger and Nathan Ferlina, presented by Five Star Mitsubishi. Tune in starting 30 minutes following the next Penn State football game for Blue and White Wrap Up. This is an exclusive presentation of Leitner Communications on Talk Radio 95.3 WRSC Bellefonte State College and 96.9 and 100.7 The Train, WTRN Tyrone Altoona.